Kevin Kurz joins us once again from Comcast Sportsnet. Covers the San Jose Sharks very well. Kev, welcome back to the show. And Oilers and the Sharks for first place. Kevin, something, well, you've never said, I think, since covering the San Jose Sharks in January.
Well, no, not in January. you know, 2 weeks ago, I guess we did. But, yeah, you know, to me, I sense a pretty good rivalry kind of brewing between these two teams. It's been pretty nasty, even if you go back to last year when, you know, Darnell Nurse and Roman Polak got together, and then the Sharks called up Michael Haley basically just to fight Darnell Nurse. And then last game was obviously a pretty physical and nasty one, too. So, you know, I think that's Todd McClellan, I ran that by him this morning, and basically he indicated, well, that's a good thing for the Oilers because that means they're in the conversation and you don't have rivalries between playoff teams and non-playoff teams. They form when you have two good teams, and obviously the Oilers are headed in that direction.
From the San Jose perspective, huge bonus for them as they get Vlasic back in the lineup. Now, did I read it correct? He had some sort of facial fractures?
Yeah, I think he's back in. Nobody would confirm that officially, but it certainly looked that way this morning. What happened, it was December 30th, and he took a slap shot from Shane Gostisbehere, bear, deflected off Joel Ward's stick right into his face. And, you know, he's been out ever since. He's missed the last four games. And he told us last Friday that he had a couple fractures in his face and some nerve damage, and his face was all swelled up. I mean, he looked terrible. But, you know, looking at him today, it's pretty obvious that it came down. And he's still dealing with a little bit of pain and discomfort, but he was wearing, you know, a longer visor that kind of goes down to his chin. So he hopes that brings a little bit extra protection. But, you know, he's such an important part of this team, and they've been really kind of loose in their own end since he got hurt. And they'll welcome him back in, especially with the way some of these Oilers guys are putting the puck in the net lately.
Well, that top line of the Oilers, Patrick Maroon's on fire. And on December 23rd, like, Connor McDavid, even though the Oilers didn't generate a lot, Connor McDavid, when he was on the ice, you know, he created a lot. Who do you think Peter DeBoer would like to get out against McDavid tonight?
Well, if it's Vlasic in the lineup, there's no doubt it would be him and Justin Braun. That's his shutdown pair. And, you know, if you go back to that game on 23rd, the Oilers didn't do a whole much through the first two periods, and that includes McDavid at 5-on-5 until the third period when they put McDavid and Draisaitl together, and they were just all over the place. And you know, they came back, and it got at least a point out of that one. And I believe one of the Edmonton guys told me this morning that they haven't been broken up since then. So, you know, if that's the case, and obviously Pat Maroon having the week that he had, I would guess they're going to try and get Vlasic and Braun out there as much as possible against those guys. But, you know, Pete also likes to say he doesn't try to line match all that much. And most of the time he does stick to that. It's not just something he says. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. But if Vlasic's in there again, I think that would be a huge benefit to the Sharks just because they really have struggled in their own end without him.
On the other side of it, Brent Burns has 39 points in 40 games, which is unbelievable. What do the Oilers have to do to stop this guy from contributing in the offensive zone?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you can stop him, but, you know, he's such an unpredictable guy. I don't even know how you game plan for this guy, frankly. And it's interesting you bring that up because back when the Oilers were in San Jose in December, I asked Todd McClellan, you know, Todd wanted him to stay on defense. And that was a big point of contention between him and Doug Wilson. And, you know, the question was asked to Todd, do you rethink maybe, I forget how the question was brought up, but, you know, basically it was about Burns being defenseman. And according to Todd, he thought Burns's year and a half as a forward really helped him become the kind of player he is today. That offensive guy that knows when to drive the net, knows when to pick his holes, can create room to get his shot off. And that's, you know, according to Todd anyway, that's why he's kind of the weapon he is today. So, you know, I don't know how you stop him. I, you know, one player did recently tell me, former player recently told me that teams are putting more of an emphasis on pressuring him on the power play because the Sharks' power play has struggled, and a lot of it is generated from Burns getting those shots through from the point. They haven't really been doing that lately. So, That's at least one way you can try to slow him down. But, you know, again, he's such an unpredictable guy. He can be at any time in any place. And, you know, Paul Martin is his reliable defense partner. He's kind of become accustomed to playing with him, and that's why they typically prevent chances from going the other way.
Kevin Kurz joins us breaking down the San Jose Sharks. Brent Burns, of course, you know, is a guy who's going to get lots of consideration for the Norris Trophy again. He's become not only a fan favorite in San Jose, but really a fan favorite across the league, I think. Started last year at the All-Star game. The beard has a lot to do with it, going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. He's in the commercials now for national advertisers, you know, which kind of shows that you don't always have to be clean shaven. Sometimes people just like somebody who shows off their personality. And you've seen kind of the evolution of Burns, and you talk about how Todd McClellan really kind of debated with Doug Wilson. And clearly in hindsight, McClellan was right in that argument. He never should have been having him play at forward. But how much has, like, Burns' evolution really the last 3 years, Kevin, what has made him such a more of a dominant, consistent defense in the last few years than he was earlier? Like, is he just the ultimate late bloomer, or did he change something in his game?
Well, I think he's always had those offensive instincts, and he's always had, you know, just ridiculous hands and ridiculous skill. So, you know, that's always been there. I think the big thing for him was learning how to play in his own end. And, you know, he points to a lot the coaching staff coming in, and you know, his year, Todd McClellan's last year when Brent was back on defense, there was a disconnect between him and the coaching staff. And, you know, I think that was part of the reason that they struggled so much. And he talks a lot about Bob Boudner coming in and Pete DeBoer telling him right away, you're going to be a defenseman. There's absolutely no way you're going to be a forward. So there was no more ambiguity as to where Burns was going to play. So, you know, it took him, I want to say, about half a year last year to really button up his play in his own zone and know when to go and when to be a little bit more responsible and where to be on the ice and, you know, getting used to a new partner in Paul Martin, who was a free agent acquisition. So to me, that was really the biggest change in Burns and why he is the guy he is today.
Matt Nieto, what happened to him in San Jose that he got put on waivers?
Well, they just had two young guys come up and push him out of the lineup. It's pretty simple. Timo Meier and Kevin LeBanc are two rookies that have come up and contributed, and they're both on the top six right now. So it just became a numbers game, and, you know, Nieto was pushed out. I wouldn't read in anything more into it other than that. You know, when young guys come up and other guys aren't producing, that's what's going to happen.
Now, I was reading your Twitter feed, and you had a story about Thomas Hertl. And, you know, maybe some concerns about, you know, that this injury might be more serious than they originally thought.
Well, the last I heard is, you know, if you look at the timeline here, he was hurt on November 17th in St. Louis. And then he had a procedure done on November 22nd. And basically that procedure was done, as it was explained to us from Doug Wilson, to try and prevent these right knee injuries from happening. Because if you look at the one he got hurt on, it was a relatively innocent looking play. And, you know, he sprained his knee again. So they did this surgery. It's at least the third procedure that we know about on that knee. And on November 22nd, Doug Wilson said he expected Hurdle to miss weeks and not months. Well, you know, what I heard is he's not going to be back anytime before mid-February. Now, Pete DeBoer did say yesterday that he was optimistic Hurdle could return at the beginning of February. But, you know, it seems to me that timeline has been pushed back a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, the Sharks can probably err on the side of caution a little bit. They're in first place, and they want Hurdle back at 100%, not just for this season, but for the rest of his career. You know, this kid is still 23 years old, and you know, they project him to be a big part of the Sharks for the present and the future. So I can imagine that's probably what they're going to do here.
One of the guys I wanted to ask a question about was Joel Ward, a guy that has seen pretty consistent numbers the last 3 years, and then all of a sudden this year has kind of fallen off, not the map completely, but been healthy, scratched a few times, and has struggled at times this season. What is going on with Mr. Joel Ward this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely getting up there. I think the short summer it was maybe had a little bit of an effect with him. But, Yeah, he's just last year he was getting to the front of the net a little bit more. He was creating more offense. He was, I think, a little bit harder to play against than what we've seen. Now, you know, that said, I think he's been better in the past week or so. There was a time where he was a healthy scratch, and then he spent some time on the fourth line. Right now, DeBoer's got him on the third line with Chris Tierney and Patrick Marleau, and they've been pretty good lately. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It might just be a little bit of an age thing catching up with Joel Ward. But he has been better lately. And, you know, the message from DeBoer when he healthy scratched him was, look, this guy was such an important part of our team last season and in the playoffs. We really need him to get going. And I think at least in the last week or so, it does look like he's been a little bit better.
Kev, as always, great to catch up with you. We'll see you at the rink. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Anytime, guys. Thanks.